I want to ask Brother Hanks at the beginning here to say a word about his table that's out in the foyer. We have used some of his materials. As I told you Sunday, he's done a great service to our churches, many places that use his tracts. They print many gospel tracts for both use here in America and around the world. Sunday school material, family devotional material, and just a lot of printed material. His daddy got him doing that years ago. Brother Hanks was crazy about putting stuff in print, and his son has taken that charge and that challenge and has done that and just put oodles and oodles of stuff in print. It's been a real help, and done a great job down in Lawrence, Kansas. One of the most liberal cities in all the Midwest is Lawrence, Kansas. Really is where the University of Kansas is, and there's a good church there. And I don't know how many building programs and battles with the city council because they wanted to fly an American flag on the property along Interstate 70, is it? I think there, and had a big battle with the city council because the flag was too big. I don't know that they can make an American flag that's too big, but anyway. He's stayed faithful and stayed put and done a great job and had the privilege of being there many times. And I'm glad you can hear this good man tonight. So give me undivided attention. Brother Hanks, come on. Say a word about your table, okay?
Sounds good. Well, appreciate your pastor. Appreciate you. You have a ministry in him. And God's definitely used him here. We're from Song Village. We've been here several times, but never when this building was built, obviously. But it's before Brother Angel ever came here. Of course, we played basketball out here, played flag football out here, and did all kinds of other things out here. But it was fun, I tell you what. Anyway, a lot of memories from here. And it's good to see several of you folk haven't changed a bit. I mean, you look like you haven't aged at all. And your pastor, he has aged. Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you what, I never thought I'd see the day that Brother Angel would be a whitehead. But I tell you what, it's turning more white all the time. But anyway, I appreciate him. The first time Brother Angel had me preach here, you all were in a really old building before this building. And, of course, the ceiling was really, really low. And that was really years and years ago. And he has just been a real friend of mine. I appreciate him. Appreciate all he does for me. And I know he wouldn't want me to say anything, but the closest person I've ever been to in my life is my father, and of course he's in heaven now, and he meant everything to me. Beyond, of course, the Lord means everything, but my father was real close to him. And then I'd say the second most closest person I really have in my life, though he wouldn't think so, is your pastor. I really appreciate him, appreciate his friendship, and he's been a blessing. The book table in the back, I hope you at least go by. There might be something you can use. There's several different things. We have a series for discipleship. There's four books there. If you're trying to get someone to grow as a Christian, good books to do. And then I have a series that I started writing on Walk in Truth series. I started out because my having family altar at home. I've got, let's see, I have six children. Five of them are six and under. And so trying to have family altar and, you know, one's hitting the other one, the other one's poking the other one in the eye, and it just got to be a chore. So I determined I would just take one principle, one verse, give an interpretation of that one verse, and apply it. So the first book I wrote on that was called Principles. That's the title of it, and there's 31 lessons, 31 days in a month. And so I did, in that particular book, eat everything on your plate type stuff. You know, there was one on eat what's set before of you. There's one on Noah, murmuring and disputing, and, you know, all the stuff that had to deal with children. And sometimes your wife, but all those things that have to deal with children. And so that's how it started. And so now we've done 19 topics later. There's the tabernacle back there. There's one on Old Testament characters, New Testament characters, women of the Bible. And so there's just one topic, and there's 31 days or 31 lessons on those. But that might be helpful. I wrote a book on Proverbs out there. Brother Brown wrote the foreword for the first one. Your pastor just wrote, I'm coming out in about 3 weeks, hopefully, when it gets printed, a bigger book than that one on topical studies. Your pastor wrote the one for that one. That's not out yet. But, again, I appreciate his kindness. Let me say something, and hopefully something will be back there to help to you. Church family, thanks for coming out tonight. David just asked me if I'm preaching something I've preached before, and I'm not. I told David, you'll hear it again, though, so you don't have to worry about that. But I want to preach a thought. I don't think it'll take very long tonight, but I think so the Lord has for us. I read this, and I thought you might get a kick out of it. This is a true story about a lady in Florida that had a problem. It says here, an elderly woman, excuse me, start laughing because I know the punchline. Sorry about that. You know, I always get a kick out of the angel reading these things. He laughs before he gets done. And anyway, now I know why. He's old, but anyway. anyway, all right. Here's what it says. An elderly Florida lady did her shopping and upon returning to her car found four males in the act of leaving with her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bags and drew her handgun, proceeding to scream at the top of her lungs, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car." The four men didn't wait for a second threat. They got out of the car and they ran like mad. The lady, somewhat shaken, then proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of her car and got into the driver's seat. She was so shaken, though, she couldn't get the key in the ignition. She tried and tried and tried and then realized why. It was... That's my mother laughing right now. Tell ya. You know, the good thing about my mom is she'll laugh about this joke 3 days later. She tried and tried and tried and then realized why. It was for the same reason that she had wondered why there was a football, a frisbee, and a 12-pack of Coke in the front seat. A few minutes later, she found her own car parked four or five spaces farther down. She loaded her bags into the car and drove to the police station to report her mistake. The sergeant to whom she told the story couldn't stop laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting. I can almost see my mom doing this. Right? He pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman, described as white, less than 5 feet tall, glasses, curly white hair, and carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed, but the moral of the story is, if you're going to have a senior moment, make it memorable. Anyway, we can read more, but I want to go ahead and get to this thought tonight. If you grab your Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 13 tonight. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to have you read responsively. I'm going to actually read a little bit more scripture than normal, than I would normally. But I want you to understand the passage as far as giving the thought. And the thought won't take very long tonight, but I want you to read responsively. I'll read a verse and you read a verse. In Numbers chapter 13, we're going to read verses 26 through 33. So verse 26 to the end of the chapter. And again, I'll start us off. And then verse 27, if you'll pick up and read out loud with me. And you may remain seated. Verse 26 says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." Together. "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which some of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." We're going to continue on in chapter 14. Now I want to read down to verse number 10. I'll read again verse 1 and again alternate to verse number 10 together. Verse 1 says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. All right, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you again for the blessing of being able to pray and sing. Thank you for the song that we just heard from the young people. I ask you now to please again use your word, help us to have an understanding of it, and apply it to our own lives tonight. I ask for your power, for liberty, or again for the words to say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, church family, let's bring this together now. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to read two more verses or three more verses with you, and then we'll bring the thought together. Deuteronomy chapter 1, look at verse 26 with me. Now, you have to understand, most of you understand and know your Bible. What we just got done reading was the 12 spies that had come into the land of Canaan. They went there, and of course, 10 were bad, 2 were good. 10 came back, gave an evil report. 2 came back, said that, which was Joshua and Caleb, said, hey, let's go into the promised land and do something because the Lord's given us that particular land. Now, Deuteronomy is a recount, or a, what we call, the Bible calls a second law, was going back and reviewing what had taken place in Numbers by them not going to the promised land. Now, we all know the story. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The reason they wandered is because of their unbelief. Deuteronomy chapter 1 now, I want you to see Moses' recount of that. Look at verse 26. And just, again, follow me now. I'll go ahead and read verse 26 through 28. The Bible says, notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And here's our text, and here's the thought tonight, verse 28. Whither shall we go up? And listen to this next phrase. Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. But your family, if you've been saved any length of time, you have had some Christian discourage you in your own Christian life. Sometimes that discouragement comes from a family member. Sometimes that discouragement comes from a teacher. Sometimes that discouragement, I know there's times that I've just been, sometimes you don't even mean to be discouraging, but we become discouraging by what we say. You can imagine when the people, 600,000 plus Israelites are here, and these spies come back. And when they come back, the first thing out of their mouth was, yes, here's the cluster of grapes. And then immediately they say, nevertheless, and they just run right into the giants and how they were like grasshoppers in their sight. And there's no way. They actually said, we're not able to be able to go in and take the promised land. It's an impossibility. That's what they were saying. And Moses' recount of that was that they discouraged the hearts of the people. And that caused them to not believe God, to not go in. But your family, it's easy, listen to me tonight, it's easy for us to become discouraging to one another. And we can hinder somebody from reaching what God has promised them in their life or what God wants for them in their life. Hey, I believe there's many a person did not reach the will of God for their life because of some Christian or because of some person that gave a discouraging report. You can't do that. It's not going to happen. I remember the first time I preached a message behind the pulpit at Sauk Village, and I was about 15 years old. And after the message I got done, I remember I came down this side of the auditorium. We had back then, Dad always did a 6 o'clock hour and a 7 o'clock hour, which just meant you got two sermons on a Sunday evening. That's all it meant, all right? And so during the 6 o'clock hour, Dad let me preach that particular time. I was about 15 years old, and I'll never forget. And when I came down, they had a 15-minute break before the 7 o'clock service would start. And there was an old man sitting about the fourth row back, and a member of the church there, been there for years. And as soon as I walked down, he shook my hand. He said, well, that was a good sermon, but you'll never be a preacher. That's the first statement of his mom. Now, his statement could not, obviously the Lord didn't allow that to hinder anything, but that his statement could have been something, well, I guess I'll never be a preacher. You know what I mean? There's a lot of statements that we get that are very discouraging. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We've got to be careful what we say to people. And you say to yourself, well, it doesn't matter what I say because, you know, I'm not an influential person in the church. If you're breathing, you're influential. All of us have influence. We influence young people. We influence teenagers. We influence adults. And we say to ourselves, well, what I say really doesn't matter. What you say does matter. I mean, he said in Matthew chapter 12 that we will give an account for every idle word at the judgment. In other words, God's keeping record of what we say. Now, we as Christians ought to be an encouraging group, not a discouraging group. I want to just point out just a couple things tonight from the 10 spies that I find very interesting. And just three things, by the way. There's three things about these 10 spies that I find interesting. They were discouraging. And I think what I see about these 10 spies is also, if I can say, can be brought out in our own lives if we're not careful. Now, I want you to see the first thing with me. And again, I'm going to jump between Deuteronomy and our Numbers passage. But jump back to Numbers chapter 13 for just a moment. I'll show you something here. In Numbers 13, though, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the chapter, and I'm just going to read just a couple of verses to show you something about these particular 12 spies. Now, the word discourage, it means to extinguish courage, means to dishearten, means to depress, and that's what they did. I mean, here they come back, and they're waiting to hear this glorious report of the promised land, a place full of milk and honey. Let's go in and get it. That's what they were waiting for these spies to come back. They were surprised to come back, for these spies to come back and say, can't do it. The giants are there. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can take it. And what happened? It extinguished courage throughout 600,000 plus Jews. They had come all this way for this to happen. Can you imagine if your pastor said, now listen, we need to build a new auditorium, and you got all the way to the place where you're about to break ground, and then your pastor comes back up behind the pulpit and says, church family, we just don't have the money to do it. We're not gonna build the building. Now, that would have been very disheartening to come so far of seeing God's gonna. This is sight now. This building was not sight not too many years ago. And so your pastor comes and says, listen, and that's what God said, okay, listen, I've got a promise for them. They were encouraged about what God was. They just got done coming from Egypt and seeing the miracles, and they just got done crossing all through the Red Sea and all the miracles of the water coming out of the rock and quail coming out of the sky and bread, manna. They saw all those miracles, and they were going, they had an expectation. And these guys come back and smash that expectation. I want to tell you something, Christian, you can either cause somebody to go forward for God or cause someone to go backwards for God. Just by what you say. Now, here's the first thing I want you to see about these 10 spies. In chapter 13, you have the listing of it there in verses, I think it's verse number 5 down through verse 16. But look at verse number 2. It says this, send thou men, and they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel of every tribe of their fathers. Shall you send the man? Look at the last phrase of verse number 2. Everyone a ruler among them. The last phrase of verse 3 says, all those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, church, I find it interesting that these 12 spies, these were not teeny boppers. These were not youth. These were leaders. These were heads of people. I want to tell you something. If we're not careful, I hate to say it this way, but one, if I can say an area of those who were discouraging, it was the older ones. These weren't young people. The 10 spies that came back were leaders. They were aged to them. And I want to tell you something. There gets to be a tendency, the older we get, to be very discouraging, or if I can put it this way, to put water on somebody's fire because you don't have the youthfulness that you once had. Are you listening to tonight? I want to tell you something. We talk about, and I'm teasing Brother Angel, and I love him. I'm trying to be mean. But I want to tell you something. It's the truth. The older we get, we don't have the desires we used to have. When I came to Heritage, I've been there 14 years. One of the things I wanted to do, and still, I sometimes I think back and say, boy, it'd still be a lot of fun, is to go skydiving. How many's ever been gone skydiving before? Anybody gone skydiving? All right, we got normal people in here. Nobody's gone skydiving. But you know what? When I came to Heritage, I was 24, 25 years old. I wanted to do it. And I thought, man, I think it'd be neat to get in an airplane. Boy, just to go out and be in the open air and come down in a parachute and land. I want to tell you something. Next year, I'll be 40 years old. Let me tell you something. That's insane. Who would jump out of a perfectly good airplane unless you're insane? I'm telling you something. You know why? Because the older I get, I have less of a desire to jump out of an airplane. I want to tell you something. Can I tell you something? When we're young, we're very daring. We want to try different things. We're willing to do different things. And the older we get, our desires fail. I want to tell you something. These 10 spies that came back, they were older. I'm going to tell you something. One thing about age that's bad is we can be discouraging to the group that's coming up behind us instead of encouraging them. I mean, praise the Lord, brother, sister, angel, let God move them, but allow them to go and be missionaries in Madagascar. Let me tell you something. You know, there's a lot of parents would never think about saying, no, I don't want you going to a foreign field. But you ought to encourage them. We had a young guy in our church. He's about 22 years old. And I sent him to a conference to represent our Mercy and Truth ministry, and I wasn't able to go. And so he came back, and he said, Pastor, he said at the conference, a preacher got up and spoke, and he made a statement. He said the preacher made some statement like, could you get a tract in every person's hand? But anyway, that was the only statement he caught. And he came back home. He said, Pastor, what do you think about us putting a gospel tract on every door in the state of Kansas? This is in my office. He told me, I said, give me 2 weeks. Give me some time to pray about it. I prayed about it for about 2 weeks. Now, when he came back, I could have told him, listen, that's stupid. A track on every door in Kansas. Now, how do you expect to make that happen? But I didn't tell him that. I said, give me prayer. And I prayed about it for 2 weeks. And you know what? The Lord just impressed in my heart. You know what? That's a good idea. So that young man at 22 years of age organized the state of Kansas. He got 71 independent Baptist churches to help with it. And he organized that thing. And I want to tell you something. In April will be 3 years that we've been putting gospel tracts on the state of Kansas. And by April, by God's grace, the entire state will have had a tract on every door in the state of Kansas. Now I want to tell you something. That would not have happened except for a young man who had something inside of him to say, listen, I think we can do it. And if we're not careful, we'll have the youth come up. And I want to tell you, young people down here, God will put something in your heart to do something. And I'm going to tell you, the best thing you can do is go ask your parent, go ask your preacher. But I want to tell you, we as parents, we shouldn't slow them down. Let's go get it. Those 10 spies came back and said, there is no way. Except for two guys. And I want to tell you something, there's still older people that have it in them. And we need to keep that. We've got to be careful that we don't allow the desire to fail. You know, it's amazing, you look through the Scripture, the people when they got to be older, Solomon, Samson, Ahithophel, people who got older in their lives seemed like they didn't end very well. I want to tell you something, part of that is because when our health starts to wane, I want to tell you something, our desire or that intensity starts to wane. You've got to keep that inside your bosom. You've got to continue to let God do a work in your life. I want to tell you something, it gets tiring coming out to your visitation night, Sunday night, whenever it is. I mean, you came out on a Wednesday night tonight, and this is the cream of the crop, and obviously we don't have, I'm not talking to backsliders tonight to a great degree. I'm talking to people who love the Lord. You've got to keep that going inside of you. You can't get discouraging about it. Good. Your pastor says, hey, listen, we're going to try this new avenue over here in the ministry. You say, well, we've never done that before. So what? Right. It doesn't matter. Well, or you say, man, we're not a big enough church to do that over there. It doesn't matter. Get on board. And I'm thinking, you have followed your pastor. In a few minutes, I'll be able to go next door and see another building. I mean, you're able to see God bless this church and ministries and that. You know why? Because you've decided in your mind that if the man of God says this is the direction we're going, that's the direction we're going. Don't ever get to the age where you're not willing to say, hey, I've never done that before, but that's not what God wants. Let's do it. Age can do that. You've got to be real careful concerning that. I want you to see quickly something else here. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Not only were the ones that were discouragers were older, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, I find that they were disobedient. You say, Pastor, how were they disobedient? I mean, they were 12 spies. They went into the promised land. Now, I want to tell you something, Jerry. We always blame God for the 12 spies going in. Look at Moses' recount of this in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at verse number 20. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 20, he says, and I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And, verse 22, don't miss this. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. Now, church, I'm going to stop right there. We don't have to read anymore. Now, Moses allowed it. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what God intended. God said, this is the promised land. Go in and possess. And they came and said, no, listen, what we would like to do is we want to send 12 spies so that they can spy out the land, see what the land's like. They didn't need to. You know what, church family? When you can see the whole, sometimes we get scared about the whole, so we don't want to attack the whole. When I came to Heritage those years ago, they had never built. There was about 45 people there, and they had never built a building before. And I thought the Lord wanted us to build, so we're going to build a bus barn. The bus barn was going to be 33 foot wide, and it was going to be 54 feet long. A bus barn. We already had a little church building we were meeting in, and now as soon as we started to break the ground for that little bus barn, the Lord said, "Now I want you to. This is just breaking the ground." I said, "Now I want you to build a gymnasium, all-purpose building." And the gymnasium all-purpose building was 90 wide and 125 feet long. And so I came to the men and I said, listen, I know we talked about a bus barn, but I think that if we're going to build a bus barn, I might as well build a gymnasium all-purpose building. And, you know, they said, okay. And we built that gymnasium. But, you know, God took us in steps. We were there, and then, of course, we moved out to where we're at now. And we took down that gymnasium all-purpose building. We were in that thing for about 3 or 4 years after it was completely finished. We took the thing completely apart, and then we put it back, took it apart and set it back up where we're at now and put it back together again. And then since then, we've built two other buildings. And right now, we just got the new auditorium. It's 150 by 150. We just got that particular building completely enclosed in. Now we're getting ready to start the inside, and it's a bricked window door, and we praise the Lord for that. But you know what God had to do with Heritage? He had to start with a 33 by 54 bus barn, 125-90 metal building. Then he had to go out to building a 33 by 125 to a 90 by 125 to another 90 by 125 to now 150 by 150. You know what God was doing? He was moving us little by little by little. You know what, Jason, church family? God will do the same thing for you, and you can't get discouraged. And if God showed you the whole picture, you would get discouraged. God's going to take you one step at a time. But you know what was wrong with these 10 spies? Watch me tonight. What was wrong with these 10 spies is they were disobedient. God never said to send spies into there. God said, go in and possess. So here's what they did. Instead of just taking God's word for it and coming to the first city and only seeing this first pew and kill, kill, kill. We won't smack you. And then going to the next city, destroy and take. Next city, destroy and take. Next city, destroy and take. What they decided to do is they were smarter than God. So they had sent their 12 spies out, and they saw a city here, and a city here, and a city here, and a city here, and an ugly city here, and a big city here, and a tall city here. Boy, it scared them half to death. Church family, they would have never been scared half to death if they disobeyed God. God said, go in and possess. They would have came to the first one. And boy, they would have been encouraged. Man, we took over Jericho. And we took over Ai. And they'd have been encouraged if they took it a step at a time. But you know what? They were disobedient. Pastor Hank, how does that fit in? I'm going to tell you how it fits in. The reason those 10 were discouraging, because they were already disobedient to God. And when you're disobedient, you're going to discourage everybody else, not encourage them.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know who the people are who are critical of those going soul winning? Duh. I've never met somebody who goes soul winning critical of somebody going soul winning. You know who the people are critical of? People? Well, yeah. I'm sure they led somebody to Christ. They were probably 2 years old, couldn't pray a prayer. And you know who criticizes people going soul winning? People who don't go soul winning. I want to tell you something. When you're disobedient, it's easy to be negative about everything going on around here. You know what I find out? I find out that people who are on board, people who go to church Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, people who are going or who are going soul winning on Thursday night, people who are maybe running a bus route, people who are involved in the Sunday school, people who are on board and are serving and being obedient to God, spending time in that book on a regular basis, I find out that they don't have time to be critical. Listen, God created us to go forward. I mean, Psalm 133, verse number 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God wants this. Listen, you're the lighthouse of Bourbonnais, Illinois. In this area. God placed you here on purpose. It's not by an accident that you're in this church. Church family, I'm going to tell you something. You know it and I know it. There's many people that love to hear your pastor preach because God's allowed you to give him a national ministry. And you know what? They would die if they could just be in this church. But they're not going to quit their job and root their family just to be here because God used a man of God in their life. And God's giving you an opportunity to continue to be used in this area. Listen to me, the church family. Don't miss the opportunities God's given you in this particular place to reach this place. And I want to tell you something. Get involved. Don't be disobedient. And you won't have a hard time when he says something that maybe bothers you. You won't be upset because something goes haywire in the school and you don't like necessarily how it took place. Do you understand that the devil's going to work on somebody who's not right with God quicker than he is with somebody who is right with God? Those 10 spies came back and were disobedient already because they should have never been out there. And when they went out there and they came back, they caused 600,000 plus people not to receive the promise of God. You know why? Because they were already disobedient in their own life. Well, I don't influence anybody. It's not going to matter what I do. It does. Matters. Let me give you this last one tonight. I see that these folks that were discouragers, they were older. They were disobedient. Look at this last one here. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, you're still there. Look at verse number 28 with me. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 28 says this. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. They were older. They were disobedient. They were brethren. But you're going, we would think in our mind that the people who are the most discouraging would be that lost world out there. Just think about it for a second here. They're not on their way to heaven. When they have a problem, they can't go to God. They don't have the Holy Spirit leading them. They don't have the blessings of God upon their life. They're still looking for ways to make them happy. That's why they spend money on a lottery ticket in hopes that they're going to get the money that they think is going to take care of their problem. They drink, they smoke, they carouse around. They're looking for ways to make them happy. But you know why? Because they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Do you understand that we as brethren should not be discouraging one another? We ought to be encouraging one another. But it's a fact of life. Christians are going to be discouraging. What was the percentage? 12 spies, correct? 10? Can't do it. 2. Let's go get them. It's less than 20%. It's less than 20%. And they were brethren. But by the way, you follow up through the scripture, you'll find out that the people that did the most discouraging were brethren. Nehemiah is trying to build a wall, and it's his own Jewish brethren that are siding with the enemy and discouraging him. The disciples are sitting around there with Jesus, whom we believe is Mary Bethany, when she comes and pours the ointment upon Jesus Christ, and the disciples are criticizing, well, that could have been sold and given to the poor. Do you understand? You're gonna be criticized in your life. And let me hit both sides of this and we're done tonight. Is number one, is you are going to be criticized, but number two, don't be the criticizer. Be the encourager. Be the encourager. Be the Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb got the promised land. And by the way, they got the place they wanted in the promised land. You know, your pastor tonight, of course, he's always an encourager. But you know, do you notice what he's trying to do with this? The fellow that was having a birthday, an older gentleman. You know, the only thing he's trying to do is encourage that man. That's the only thing he's trying to do to that man. He's already saved. How about you? Who do you know tonight? God wants to use you to encourage. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your children. You know, I really believe sometimes some of the reasons why our children don't make it is because mom and dad is so discouraging. Your kid can't do anything right. Watch me tonight. Can't do anything right. You know why? Because this thing right here. You know, church family, he talked about my dad. It was refreshing that I could call him as soon as I got the phone. I was in a Walmart when they called me. They said, hey, dad's out here. I said, something's wrong. I said, that's fine. I hung up. As soon as I hung up, I called Brother Angel. One Brother Angel went over here. You know, I would not be in ministry today if it wasn't for my father keeping me going. I remember one time my first year of college, I went to college. And when I went to college, one of the key staff men at that college had gone way he were. He was going out representing the college, and while he was going out representing the college at a hotel, all across the states, he'd go to a hotel, and he'd have prostitutes come to his hotel room while he was representing the college throughout the states. Help us is right. When I found that out, I called my dad. I said, I was at college. I was on campus there. I called back to my dad. I said, Dad, I just don't understand this. I said, listen, and I named the guy's name. I said, if so-and-so can't make it, I can't make it. And Dad said, it's not true, Scott. People are going to fall. People are going to go forward. You don't worry about going. And I did. I was at college one time, there was a big national issue concerning one person we'd all know, a big national issue. First thing I did, called Dad. Hey, Dad, what about this? Scott, don't worry about it. We're not in anybody's camp. We're in God's camp. I said, just go on. You know, time and time in my life like that. I remember one time, I had just gotten a Heritage. I had not gone, by the way, I'm a teacher. I was a school teacher for 5 years. I never got a pastoral degree. And so I didn't know all what you're supposed to do. And I had just gotten there. A lady said, I'd like to meet with you, Pastor Hanks. And, of course, she was about 40 years old at that time. I was only 24, so, you know, that 40 was old back then. I said, not a problem. So my wife didn't have any children. I did not even have an office. So I invited her right into my house. She came. My wife went upstairs to work on stuff. I didn't know any better. I figured in my house, my wife's right upstairs. It's Christmas time. She walks in, looks at my Christmas tree, and I said, what can I help you with? And she looks at my Christmas tree. She says, you have a Christmas tree. I said, yes, I do. And I said, so what can I do for you? She says, will you worship that Christmas tree? I said, well, ma'am, I don't bow to that thing. I said, we just have a Christmas tree. So what can I help you with? And she made a couple more statements. She went right back to that Christmas tree. She says, you worship that thing. And I said, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. And she got really irate. She stood up. I stood up. She walked in the door. I said, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. And she started cussing at me. This is 4 years. And I'm walking kind of behind her. I said, boy, that's really Christian. She kept cussing. I said, boy, that's really Christian. She turned around and slapped me. Now, before I could think, I slapped her back. You're not supposed to do that. I mean, it was that fast. She slapped me. I slapped her. It was that fast. She couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. She said, you slapped me. I said, yes, you slapped me. She continued to cuss as she walked out the door. As soon as she walked out, first thing I did, went to the phone. Dad? So you're not going to believe this. Had this lady here. I slapped her. He said, you what? I said, Scott, you can't do that. So he walked me through, told me what to do and everything. I'll tell you, many times in my life, it's nice to have a father that I could go to, and he just encouraged me. I'll tell you something. That's how Christians ought to be. There'll always be those 10 spies. Can't do it. Shouldn't do it. That's bad. Always negative. There ought to be some of God's people that are the Joshua and Calebs. Hey, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Church family, you are an encouragement to me because of what God's doing through your church in your ministry here, and specifically through your pastor. But I want to tell you the truth. He's using your pastor to a great deal because of you. And I always get a kick out of David. When you read about David, David said, I am blessed for Israel's sake. You are a greater influence on that man who influences others than you could ever know. Keep encouraging your church as a family. Keep encouraging your pastor. I'm going to tell you something. Your promised land might not be till you get to heaven. But God's going to continue to use this church as you encourage one another. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for allowing us again to be here. I should bless these people tonight. Help us to evaluate our own lives tonight where we're not an encouragement, we're a discouragement. Forgive us where we're not. Lord, would you please bless the people tonight? Help us, Father, to confess and be right before thee. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Eyes closed just for a moment. I wonder if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Are you an encourager? Do you you put a little air in the balloon? Or do you pop it? So true what he said tonight. So true. And it's very true about what he said about age. You just don't look at it at 50 like you did when you were 25. Yet, I'm glad, like he said, there are still several in this church up in years where the fire is still burning. And the obedience is still in place. And constantly an encouragement to me. Men older than me. Visiting Sunday school absentees. I find out things going on in people's lives because Sunday school teachers go visit. Boy, that just is a blessing. I don't want to be one of the 10. I want to be one of the 2. own children, my family.